demonstrative. You're less self-tormenting.
Mm-hmm. So what nations are amongst the least anxious in the world?
Well, oddly enough, China has one of the lowest levels of anxiety. Nigeria has a really low level of anxiety. So this was all done. The World Health Organization did a cross-cultural investigation into levels of anxiety. And they tried to train the investigators to make sure that they were getting the right answers, even though the vocabulary would be different in different countries.
Boy, you know, we think of both of those countries as having some of the worst living conditions in the world. Why would anxiety levels be less? You'd think they'd be higher.
Well, for instance, in China, there's a somewhat different formulation of selfhood. So you're living in a very collective society. Chinese children are brought up to be less self-monitoring of their emotions. Their parents aren't saying to them all the time, how are you feeling? And there's some interesting research on this, actually, comparing Chinese and American children. So they're not actually paying as much attention to their personal angst as opposed to perhaps their sort of collective concerns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also thinking about your definition of anxiety as fear in search of a cause. Do you think that Americans simply have too much time to think? We're overthinking our entire lives, and this makes us more prone to anxiety?
I think it's not so much time to think as too many options. There's too many routes you can take. There are too many choices in the supermarket. There are too many jobs you can pursue or hope to pursue in this particular economic climate. There are too many lovers that you can have. There's an overwhelming amount of possibility, and within that freedom, you become very anxious because there's no sense of certainty.
You also write very movingly about your own personal experiences of anxiety. Let's talk some about your own history. What are some of your very earliest memories of experiencing extreme levels of anxiety?
Well, I remember being very anxious as a child, but I didn't recognize it as anxiety because I just had my own frame of reference and I thought everybody was just like me. But I had lived in New Delhi, India during the war that broke out briefly between India and Pakistan. And we were subjected to nightly blackouts because the Pakistani Air Force might bomb Delhi. And that began for me an intense fear of the darkness, a fear that I had to somehow be vigilant and try to control the night and keep my family safe. And then that displaced because when I moved back to Canada, I actually forgot where the source of that anxiety had come from and just became fearful that there were serial killers outside my house. And I see this with my daughter now. She does the same thing. These levels of fear that embed in you in childhood shift and shapeshift as you get older and you can't remember anymore the origins. And then I think I was pretty much fine for many years. I had a very structured childhood and a very structured adolescence, and I think that helped a lot. I was in boarding school. We had to wear uniforms. There was a lot of ritual. We went to church every Sunday. So it really wasn't actually until I was in college that I had my first full-blown experience of really coming to a halt, where I was basically paralyzed with anxiety.
Can you describe some what happened then during that period in your 20s?
When I was deciding to write about this in my book, it was difficult because I wanted to be able to convey why it would be that having an early love affair collapse on you would be so shattering, given that we've sort of normalized the idea now that love doesn't last and that people have multiple partners and that it's all liberating and fine and to explore and so on. But I think that for me, because my parents had had such a stable relationship, that was a very strong sort of sense for me of my model of the world. And so when I was with someone who turned out to be somewhat sociopathic and unapologetic and unpredictable in sort of vanquishing me from their lives, it completely disturbed my model of the world.
Well, this is a guy, you were deeply in love with him. He behaved as though he was deeply in love with you, and then one day simply announced that he was also deeply in love with somebody else.
Yeah, without apology or... So it's not quite as simple as, you know, somebody just breaking up with you. It was actually the revelation that the person that you thought you were with was not the person that he was. But it's that sense of just having a shattered reality.
How did you recover?
I was at graduate school at the University of Chicago at the time. I withdrew and I came back and had a very sort of simple existence in my sister's basement for a few months, watching the Olympics on television and learning how to drive. And I just came through it and restored my confidence without actually gaining any insight into what had happened. So it was many years before I understood what had made me vulnerable.
Now, you had a second kind of breakdown years later while you were working as a field producer